Blog Talk Radio.
Shows boycotting the liars of the MSM and providing the people with an alternative media choice. Speaking truth to power, this is not a global revolution, it's a global evolution, and we're all the family of Mother Earth, all brothers and sisters in good health of our communities and our home, the planet Earth. Here Be Monsters dedicates all broadcasts to the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide in solidarity, because we are the 99%. We're sponsored by Roundtree7, and that's the number 7.com. and Daughters of Isis, a handmade company, and Saturday afternoon post the blog with Jack Jodell. Jack, are you with me still?
You bet I am. I'm always with you, Gwen. Good to see you. Good to hear you again, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes, Happy New Year. The dog days are done. We're in 2012, and in my profession, my community, it's here. It's here. The big year is here. We ready to excel into evolution. And the biggest confirmation anyone in my community could point to and say it's true is Occupy Wall Street.
And it's still going strong. Isn't that amazing? It's just incredible, and I'm so happy about that.
Well, it's basically, it's global. It isn't contained to any one place. It's all people, and it's making use of a global consciousness, which we know is the internet, but it's also a lot of the biosphere too.
Oh, yeah.
That's another show, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, my New Year's objective this year is to keep the House from staying Republican. I want to prevent that from happening again for next year, get rid of all these Tea Party idiots, and also keep the Senate from going Republican. You know, there's a possibility that may happen, but I don't think it's going to. But at least I'm going to work against both of those things happening. So we'll wrest power from the Republicans and the conservatives and get things a little bit more back on track where they belong.
Well, I commend you for your goals. I have to. I think that there's just so much to cover, really, with the new year. It's as if thinking that nobody would notice the president has, you know, pulled some fast ones on the nation. I mean, I'm looking at a headline that says, Happy New Year, you can now be detained indefinitely.
Right,
as an American.
It's terrible. Yeah, I just agree in concept. I categorically reject the notion that that ought to be able to be happening in this country right now, that people can just be on the grounds that they're supposedly in league with terrorists or whatever grounds they use, they can be just thrown into a prison, into a military lockup without any lawyers' appeals or without any contact with a lawyer, just completely cut off from their families. That is so unconstitutional, and it's undemocratic. It's un-everything. It's just bad.
Well, it sort of tells you exactly, plainly, without any skirts to blow up. The skirt has fallen down, the zipper's down. I don't care what you want to say. It tells you just exactly who Barack is right
it's
now.
It's disgusting. It really is. And
he's,
you know, the sad
Obama,
thing
the
is,
Wall Street man.
The sad thing is, the Republicans are even worse. I mean, you look at those idiots over there, and all the major Republican players have mountains of neocons on their payroll, giving them foreign affairs advice. It is absolutely so regressive, I just can't believe it.
Well, and still, we have this situation where somebody I've known for 20 years said to me, well, you know, what other choice have you got? Somebody who's pretty smart, and I know you are a pretty smart fellow too, and I'll bet you, you know, you think that I'm wrong probably for saying I can't vote for this guy. My integrity won't let me do it, Jack.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming
any
from. A lot of people agree with you, Gwen, and I can't, you know, actively support him because of what he's done, his cave into the Republicans, into Wall Street. But as I look at the other field, I'm mortified at the thought that
I know
Gingrich,
it's your default.
Or Mitt Romney even will get in. It's terrible. It's just
No,
liberals were stuck up a creek without a paddle again. You know.
Yeah.
We really are because you know.
But just when we get. When we get to that point, when it's balls to the walls, you should excuse my language.
No, I understand.
And things are when things get this radically tight, This is when all hell done busts loose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things get really strange. In the 60s, when radicalism became the college scene and mm-hmm. people began to protest in large numbers, and then a lot of women began to protest with the women's movement,
mm-hmm.
and protest became the, you know, the
protest
the channel
became chic.
When it all started back then, and it you know, but you didn't have it. You had it going on a bit in Europe, you know, the Paris peace talks. I remember I was there. I was
In France, they had riots and student revolutions in 1969.
Yes, and all of this was, you know, it just now, basically, it is a very global thing throughout multiple cultures.
Right.
What is, I think people are starting to pay attention to and get it, that these multiple cultures are working in harmony with one another. In other words, we are Oakland had a march on Friday in solidarity with the women of Egypt.
Yes,
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The women of Spain and the people of Spain march in harmony with Occupy Wall Street's, you know, mm-hmm. different actions. Whenever there's a day of action, it's more than just one culture, and it's global. And the mix of all of these different cultures is telling us a lot, I think.
Well, it's still evolving, which is good because it hasn't disappeared, and there's no sign that it's going to either. And route it's going to end up on and what shape it will make the rest of the world has yet to be seen. But we know at least in great degrees we're heading in the right direction. We just want to watch it coalesce this year into something meaningful and definite that will finally put the forces of reaction on the run where they've belonged for a long time.
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful there. You know, last night Liberty Square was retaken in New York.
Yeah, great. That's great.
People were hailed to get down there. There were a few arrests. Mm. There was a projection in Times Square against the building with the light projector for Occupy Wall Street for the event of the ball dropping.
Mm-hmm.
Occupy Wall Street, or Occupy movements, are planning all kinds of unique new days of action, and there's so many different events, and everything is beginning to become molded to the city and
mm-hmm.
the issues in the city around the different Occupy groups. Like Atlanta has its own agendas, and so does Oakland, and so does Portland.
Oh, so does Minneapolis and Minnesota
right.
in general. Two different groups in Minnesota now. One is Occupy Minnesota, and the other is Occupy Minneapolis, and they've both got events planned. As a matter of fact, next Saturday in Minneapolis, they're going to have a gathering that's going to feature some foreclosed on homeowners speaking and stuff.
Right.
And I'm going to attend that very much so and find out what that's all about.
Well, that's one of the large actions they're doing is trying very hard to find, especially for the homeless people
mm-hmm.
that are joining the different Occupy groups, they're
mm-hmm.
trying very hard to find them housing, permanent situations.
Right.
You know?
Right.
In New York, they've been able to do that somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So there's a lot of positive stuff going out there.
We shouldn't despair because there's a lot of cool things happening, and there's a lot of hope for the future, and we've just got to capitalize on that. That's a bad word, but we've got to take advantage of that and make sure that it goes through to fruition.
Yeah, we really do. I agree with you there. I wanted to give you the opportunity to you posted a wonderful post up at Roundtree 7 and Saturday Afternoon Post about the end of the year wrap up, and I wish you'd give us some of those points. Share.
Well, yeah, they it was certainly an eventful year, that's for sure. 2011, it's one I'll remember for quite a while because it got a lot of things started. Gosh, from Wisconsin gatherings to Arab Spring to Occupy Wall Street. I mean, we were just, it was one thing after another, all of them
jamming.
With a progressive bent, and it was great.
Yeah, it just jamming, basically, really jamming.
It really was. It really was. You know, and I made the point, too, I carried it a little further. I just said, you know, there was a lot of change in the air, and it's not done yet. But, you know, we as a people have to change, too. We can't rely on the government to do our work for us anymore. We can't rely on our individual congressmen or senators or anything like that. We've got to start taking the reins up ourselves, because these people, you know, by and large, left to their own devices, they're going to get bought off, and they're not going to do what we need and what we want. So we have to watch them like a hawk, and they have to know we are watching them like a hawk. And there are a number of ways we can do that. One is, you know, we can send them the occasional letter or email or call their office or, you know, just let them know that we agree or disagree with what they're doing. Give them advice on what we'd like to see them do, since they are in power and they do have the reins of power at their disposal. Let's have them use that power to our advantage. And it's not an impossible thing. It has to happen on a great massive scale, but I believe it can and it should. And the more people that do it, the less time they'll have available to them to listen to the pleas of special interests.
And I want to mention here, and I want to please take note of all of our guests in the chat room.
Hi, everybody.
I see Christian, Sandy, and the Free Market Socialists, and Storm Bites, and a few guests. Anyways, they're making some wonderful observations here, like the mother of understatements that we just made. Mm-hmm. It has been one hell of a year. a lot has happened. It's been an incredible year. It's also been incredibly difficult on the personal level for a lot of folks. There's been a lot of people going through change and holding on and that kind of thing. And I can tell you personally, that's the truth. But Tricia put in a wonderful link here to remind us that Occupy the Courts is coming up.
Good.
The move to amend and Occupy the Courts is coming up, and everybody needs to take a look over here. It's basically movetoamend.org and occupythecourts.com/occupythecourts, which I'm trying to get in right now so I can bring a little more information up. But I know that's a big one coming up.
That's a great move, because they are sick right now. There's a lot of the Republicans have stormed the court system, and they've tried to put in very, very, very radically right-wing judges to bolster their legal leverage. And you know what? It's had its effect, and it's bad to have that effect out there. It's bad for all regular people and all working people and all progressives, because we get decided against so much. It's just ridiculous. Look at the Supreme Court, for God's sakes. It's terrible.
Well, the move to amend is working with Occupy on this. It's January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
It's a call to action, and Occupy the Courts will be one-day occupation of federal courthouses across the country. So we have a lot of time here to tout this, to get the word out.
Yeah.
And speak it up. Let people know what's going on out there. That's going to be on a Friday, January 20th.
Fabulous. That's great.
Get to the federal courthouse. Get your Guido mask on and stand up for what's right, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But you think it's right.
Well, what's correct? I hate to say right, because then the right-wingers
we're right,
you know? No, it's correct.
It gives that idea. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it has been an unbelievable year.
Another thing, this is a political year. This is an election year. This is a presidential election year. It is very important that people start to think about going to their local caucuses. I don't care who you caucus with. You know, as long as you can go there and exert an influence to elect, to nominate and elect progressive candidates. We've had enough of these Dinos and enough of these Republicans. Let's get some regular people out there to get elected to Congress and even to state offices. Let's do the job and do it right. And the only way we can do that is to show up at caucuses and exert our influences. And for people who've never gone, check into it. Get online, talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, check it out.
It's also up to us to bring the information, the links, and to tout the information on who is who as far as candidates go. Because in a lot of places, I'm looking around just locally, Jack, in a lot of places, people who have the information, who are duly diligent, and who understand what's going on out there are going to see nothing but Republicrats everywhere around them, and they're going to feel very disenfranchised.
Yeah, just because they've got the name Democrat doesn't mean they're really for the people. It's conceivable that they could even be worse than some of the Republican candidates. And, you know, we want to avoid that stuff. We don't need any more Republicrats in office. We've got way too many already.
Yeah, but that's where the money's getting funneled to right now.
Oh,
so
sure
we're in
is.
A real gap time. We have a caller online, and I've opened up I've opened up your line. This is the 9294 number. Hi, you're on Here Be Monsters. Who am I talking with?
You're talking to me.
Oh, Murphy! Kim Murphy!
Well, hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year to everybody.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, too. An interesting talk. An interesting talk.
Well, we're going to keep it going here, too, by golly, for the next part of the next hour or so.
Absolutely. Continue on. I'm just listening.
Well, we want to hear from what you have to say about all
what we're
talking about, too.
You really don't want to hear what I have to say.
Well, you called in. We want to hear what your input is.
Well, continue on, because I was listening to you speak. Go ahead, Gwen.
Murphy, I'll tell you what, you and Tricia are in the room right now. You're listening and a part of the show, both of you. And Jack, both of these women are teachers in the school system in this country. One's in Florida, one's in New York. And both of them enjoy what they do and feel that their service makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And both of them have very strong political conversations to bring to the surface, to bring to the public. And I think that working with kids, Tricia is, I believe, and Trish, you should type this in. I think she's preschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
But Murphy, are you junior high or high school?
Junior high, middle school. I'm middle school.
Middle
school.
Well, that's when kids start first taking looks at the world.
These poor kids.
Yeah, they're buffeted by crap on TV.
They are. And we're Title I, which means that mostly of them are poor. Poor and black.
And
you walk into my school and all you see are Obama portraits everywhere. Because it's named after a very prominent black male.
Well,
I'm not going to mention it, but you can sense when you walk in there the discomfort and dissatisfaction with the way the government is running, even though the majority of the people that I work with are African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
very weird because they don't want to come straight out and say he's an asshole, even though I would, because they have that ethnic thing going.
Yeah.
But everyone is very, very, very dissatisfied.
Well, yep. And they should be, because he hasn't fulfilled his promises. We thought he would come on like a gangbuster,
exactly,
FDR type, and he did a little tiny bit, but it was misguided. I mean, good God, bailing out the big banks and then letting them ride with that crap. I mean, that's the one thing he did that that I can mention, but I mean, there are many, many others that he disappointed us on. The latest was the signing of this this NDAA bill. That was terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have kids that come into school that are starving. Literally,
yeah,
they don't get any food unless they're in school.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
how do you handle that? You know, we
yeah
haven't had raises in 7 years.
That's,
we have our
outrageous
getting paid pittance. Exactly.
But
exactly,
meanwhile, the 1% have gotten raises every year for the last 30 years. It's ridiculous.
I wouldn't even call that raises. I would call that, are you kidding me, 6 times what my husband makes. Like,
yeah,
wow,
I would call that
that's
stealing
whole
from workers is what I'd call it.
Thank you. I would also call it that.
Yeah.
It's very discouraging.
Yeah.
We need to revolt. I mean,
right,
I have no other better words for it. I don't want Democrat. I don't want Republican. I want someone in there that's going to change our government to where the people are at least fairly treated.
Exactly.
I mean, we are being walked all over.
We need people with impeccable progressive credentials, and they can't be wishy-washy. They've got to be firmly, they have to express the firm desire and resolve to work on behalf of regular working people and the poor, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's the way it's got to be. We've been overrepresented of the rich for so long.
The working people and the poor. There is no difference between working people and poor anymore. We're all being gathered into poor.
Yeah,
that
exactly
just sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's not right. It's evil.
No.
It's just not good. And we
it
need
is
somebody.
And I don't know who's behind it. I don't know what to do, except I'm all up for a revolt. Go ahead. I'm good for it.
Well, there's all kinds of things going on that influence these legislators. I did a post earlier this year on ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council. They're supported by heavily by the Koch brothers and other multi-billionaires. Well, all they want to do is fill legislators up with ideas on how to make the rich richer and everybody else get screwed. And you know what? That's an organization that ought to be disbanded. I mean, they are just so anti-worker, anti-regular people. It's disgusting.
Anti-American.
Anti-American, I agree. It's not the American way.
Hey, Chris Hayes on Up this morning on MSNBC, surprisingly, had quite a conversation going with people on the conservatives and the neocons and their history, their anchor out of England and the French Revolution.
Oh,
and
I would
how
have
it has
seen that. Evolved, I missed it.
How it has evolved to what it is now. And basically, what it goes down to, you know, conservatives actually, what they're fluffers for the aristocracy anymore. They became that quickly because they were co-opted back then.
Oh yeah.
But when you say you don't know what it's about, it's basically about privatizing all of what the government does for people in any country now.
Yeah.
And making more profit off of that and keeping the war machines cooking and going.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And just basically using up every natural resource on the planet while killing the planet.
Right.
And making everyone a wage slave. I know I sound like such a leftist kook right now, but it's the utter truth.
It is the truth. And you know what? We're being forced into a more radical position by these sludge meisters of the far right who have dictated what's going on in this country and have dictated the paradigm for politics in this country for far too long now. It's time to get back to sanity. It's time to get back to things that benefit regular average people, working people who make up the 99% of this country.
I agree, and it angers me when I hear people go against the Occupy, going, "Well, what are they for? I don't understand. Are you kidding me? Why don't you open
up
your
head,
eyes,
pal? Open your eyes.
Yes,
you know?
Thank you. What are you in a position where you're not having an issue paying your bills, or buying groceries or your mortgage.
Right.
Are you shitting
mm-hmm.
me? It just
yeah.
annoys me. It's like, wow, are you really?
Well, you know, people that talk like that, they're a little too comfortable and they don't care enough about people around them. That's my estimation of what's going on, because they're comfortable enough where, yeah, they don't like it, but they won't do anything about it, and they don't like the fact that people are out there trying to do something about it. You know, that's the wrong attitude, you know. And they've got to get with the flow here and realize they're not going to be wealthy, rich people. They could put that illusion out of their minds right now. It's not going to happen, and the 1% are not going to allow them to get there.
That's right.
Well,
that's right. You said it a mouthful. The 1%
yep.
are not going to allow it.
Yeah, they want it all for themselves, and then they want to, you know,
yes.
devour each other. You know, it's ridiculous how greedy these people are.
Well, they have plenty of bourgeoisie to back them up.
Oh, yeah, they do, yeah. And petite bourgeoisie, too, exactly, you know.
That's true. It's always been true. But the thing is that the bourgeoisie are being et up, too, because they're basically middle-class people who
right.
make up that front.
Right.
And they're being drowned right now. They're every month we're losing more and more of that income bracket because,
right.
frankly, we don't have the economy to sustain
That's
that
exactly
kind of
right.
income
you
any
know,
longer.
The paradox of this whole thing is the 1%, they don't want any government involvement. But what do they want? They just want people to starve to death? Do they want people to just to hold up their arms in the sky and then just die? Is that what they're looking for? These people are crazy.
I tell you, there's a conversation in the chat room that I would like to address here.
Yeah.
Stormbites, who's been in a couple of times, I recognize his name, has made some practical points. And he is saying one thing right now that just has to be said, making local changes, changing the local vote
right.
makes instant results. And he's true, because all politics do become very local.
Right, exactly.
And also Sandy White has reminded us that the Occupy DC group is going to be putting a huge, you should pardon the expression, motherfucking day of action together to occupy Congress this month.
Good.
So
that's long overdue.
Give them
that
and any
kind of them, I agree.
They ought to
yeah.
completely occupy Mitch McConnell's office, John Boehner's office, Eric Cantor's office, and a bunch of wishy-washy dinos, and let those guys know what the real people really want and need. This is just ridiculous what we've been faced with.
Well, it's quite true. It really is quite true. We have another caller. I'm trying to let the microphone open.
Okay.
And it basically, okay, now it is 518 area code. Hi there, caller. Who's
Happy
who
New Year.
Got?
Hi, Happy New Year. This is Stormbite.
Hey there. Yes,
Happy
you have some
Year.
Very practical things to say. Please,
Are you the everything's local guy? I agree with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm lucky to have actually witnessed change on a federal level once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once in my life, I saw, unmistakably, I saw the federal government of a Western country
mm-hmm.
make an about face.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the United States government. That was the Canadian government.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing applies. I mean, that for me, that will forever serve as a model. I mean, you know, I got to tell you, I hear, you know, on your show and on other shows as well, I'm a frequent flyer on Blog Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
and I hear, you know, all these people, good people, decent people, expressing their frustration.
Right.
And, you know, my heart goes out to them.
Right.
Because, you know, you feel that humanity in their voice. And
oh,
yeah. You just love to reach over, give them a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, hey, hang in there. But when I see, and I'm going to get back to my original point because I do want to share that, but very quickly, when I see all this positive energy, all this momentum in my own view, and I do say this respectfully, but in my own view squandered on trying to move this juggernaut that is the federal government I just, you know, my heart goes out to these people because I know what's going to happen. I, you know, it's if you remember Cindy, I forget her last name.
Cindy Sheehan.
You remember in Crawford, Texas, she'd camped out. The woman lost her son.
Love that woman.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many of you have kids. I have a 5-year-old. There's let me tell you something. There is no weapon I wouldn't get in front of. There isn't a tank I wouldn't stand in front of.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I see these people, good people, making an effort like this, and I know in my heart that ultimately at the end of the line there's going to be frustration, my heart really goes out to them. And, you know, I go back to that one example where I saw that juggernaut actually look back. This was in the early 1990s. I was in Canada. And the price of a pack of cigarettes was, and this is in the 1990s, we're not talking today, this is 25 years ago, the price of a pack of cigarettes at the time was $6.50.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a bit of context, in the U.S., I think anywhere from, I don't know what it was in the on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, it must have been about $1.50 at the time.
Right.
What I was a smoker, thankfully, I no longer consider myself a smoker, but at the time, what everyone did is they drove out to the Indian Reserve. An Indian Reserve. And we bought our cigarettes from the Indians. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't legal. And let me tell you something. At $6.50 a pack, to hell with legal.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, we're not stealing. We're buying from, you know, we're buying from the natives.
Right.
You know, it's not like we're robbing anybody. The fact
that
you don't get your, you know, you don't get your taxes, too bad. I want to tell you something. Inside of 12 months, the price of cigarettes one day went down from $6.50 to $2.50 a pack overnight.
Wow.
Overnight.
Wow, that's
amazing
about Faith.
You can
they've gone back up again, though, too, to fund their, among other things, their health program, which is marvelous. But, you know, it isn't like the taxes were being just stuck into people's pockets and whoop-de-doo it away, you know. But I understand where you're coming from. That's an amazing illustration of what can be done if people band together and make their efforts felt.
But you know, but the key there, I think, is really it's a passive war instead of an active war. Nobody burnt down government buildings. Nobody paraded in front of police. We just said, you know what, we don't want your cigarettes. We're going to go buy them somewhere else.
Right.
And stores were laden with cigarettes that were going stale. And sooner or later, the government had to do something.
Well, sure.
Yeah, I think the same thing is true.
Mm-hmm.
That was Canada, right?
Yeah.
Right, that was Montreal. Right, it was in Quebec, Canada. I can't tell you the exact year. I think it was 1993 or 94. I'm sure if you Google it, you'd probably find something.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, the commercial and the... they didn't back off here. We do have flyover territory called in, and I opened his mic up. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Ah.
I've just been listening quietly to a...
Well, hi, happy New Year, and welcome
you
aboard.
You too as well. Well,
yeah.
Coming from a not a former smoker, still a current smoker, and I can remember when I got hit with a tax of $1 within a month after the chosen one got inaugurated.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who wants to say my taxes didn't go up under him is a liar.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And
what
being a smoke runner, I'm glad I'm a smoke runner. You know what?
Yeah, what state
you guys
you
said
in?
It right. Hey, if he said, you know, the hell with the law, you're buying from a better source, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I don't mind flouting that. I don't mind the occasional drive over to Asheville, North Carolina, and providing to those who are in non-tobacco states.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very lucrative thing to do 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to have business there. I buy a case, not a carton, a case.
Case, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sell it to family members because I know what brand they buy.
Uh-huh.
And I make a tidy little profit.
Well,
what's,
you know,
so wrong with that?
I'm
like Malcolm Reynolds of Firefly, except I don't carry a gun and I don't wear a brown duster.
Right, yeah.
You know,
well,
but you know what?
There is a point in the question of taxation when too much is makes people to react against not only the tax but what is being taxed. I mean, it reaches its point where it isn't an effective tool anymore, and it actually boomerangs. So
being a conservative, really pissed me off. I'm going to lie. It pissed me off. And what made me even more mad about it is I don't mind the increases of taxes that were going on in dribbles and drabbles from 1997 on. I didn't mind that because that was going into states.
But
that's okay.
Buck, that's a lot,
But a buck going into the federal coffers, that's basically
that's
like somebody putting a gun to my brainstem and saying, you will or else.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And well, when I got my job at the county, they made me sign a thing that said I was not a smoker. Okay, no big deal.
They made you sign it?
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, if we were a smoker, they fine us $50 a month for smoking.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
$12.50 a week?
$50 a month.
No, it breaks down to $12.50 a week if you think about it.
You know, that's overreach.
Yeah. Yep.
That is overreach.
That's a little bit over an hour's worth of work out of your work week.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And as a conservative, that causes me to want to ask the question, as a worker, doesn't that piss you off? One of the working proletariat, doesn't that just make you mad?
I lied that I wasn't. What am I going to do, you know?
I see.
Because they don't do the drug testing. However, my husband got something in the mail for his job for the government and said, they're not only going to ask you if you smoke, but they're going to give you a drug test to make sure you're not a smoker.
Jeez.
Actually, there is. There's a hair follicle test that they can do for nicotine content.
Yeah. I looked at it and I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well,
that's crazy.
Okay,
that's
I can tell you right now, it ain't the rightward side of the media that's driving that narrative.
No, of course not.
It's those who are trying to tell you how to live your life.
Yeah, it's people that are overreaching. There's no doubt about that.
And it's been consistently going on for 15 years. And, you know, I personally am getting tired of it. I did notice, however, because I could stay silent no longer, I noticed that the discussion that was going on just prior to my calling in is the same discussion almost. It's almost as if we're reading off of a script from 3 months ago, the last time I called in, back the last week of September. Only the thing is, then you were saying, oh, the media isn't covering it, it's just the alt news. And then Solyndra came out, and they were like, wow, Solyndra's out. Hey, look at those Occupy people over there. Check it out. That's literally what happened, because Solyndra is like that boomerang you throw away, and it keeps coming back to you, and you don't want it. And it's the same way with that $15 a gallon green fuel that the Navy is now being forced at gunpoint to buy.
Wow.
$15 a gallon.
Explain that one. $15 green fuel at $15 a gallon. I'm totally ignorant. I don't have any idea. Can you elaborate?
Yeah, there was a company that, and I don't have the link in front of me right now. I'd have to go and source it, but it just came out like a week and a half ago. And all the silly season stuff kind of overshadowed it. And it was just a blip on the radar. But there was a company that the Navy was forced to contract with by DOD through Department of Energy for this green jobs plan thing. And what they're normally paying $3.87 a gallon for diesel fuel, for jet fuel, they are paying basically five times that.
Sounds like some sort of political make money off of the endowment kind of thing that goes on.
Either that or keep the company afloat so it doesn't fold like Solyndra did.
Sounds more like my brother-in-law owns the plant. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yep.
So much for the most transparent administration, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's just $50.
They all say that, and none of them ever do it. So, you know, let's face it.
Yeah, I know that. That's very, very true. Mm-hmm.
It's a four-year joke. Every 4 years we get it.
Well, you can go ahead and have that downcast, you know, angle if you want. But there's always the possibility. After all, hope and change was a very, very powerful slogan.
If only it had worked.
If only it had been applied.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's a slogan. Exactly. It's a slogan.
He is a very compelling candidate, gentlemen.
Oh,
and Murph. And we all know that. We've all seen it. And
all it was a chance for history. That was really it, Gwen. That's it.
It was
a chance at history, and a bunch of people wanted to jump on that bandwagon. Let's face it.
There was more to it than that.
There was more to it than that. And
yeah.
The disappointing thing is that what he promised did not come into vogue. It just didn't happen. And part of it, a lot of it was his fault. Part of it was the conservative Republicans' fault. And, you know, there's enough blame to go around everywhere, but the net result is that we still are longing for a lot of those 2008 reforms that never came into being.
Well, hold on a second. I believe he had three sets of lockup. He had the White House, he had the Senate,
he didn't have Congress entirely behind him. His party controlled Congress, but his party was factionalized between Dinos who were worthless and Republican light and really real firebrands, you know, and he didn't have enough firebrands, and that's why he couldn't get his agenda passed.
Know what confuses me, gentlemen, is that we know now that Mr. Obama is a Wall Street man. That's where he's getting his money. That's directly out of the Wall Street.
Yeah, but he'll play the class warfare game at every opportunity, Gwen, but he shuts off that switch whenever he has to go to a fundraiser.
I've seen the double backs. I'm watching his compelling nature, his oratory skills and yada yada yada.
What oratory skills?
Really work on people.
Oh, he's a great orator. He's a great orator.
He's a great orator. So you're going to parrot what Harold Ford Jr. said, the greatest oratory president of all time? Okay.
Oh
yeah, that,
God,
I wouldn't
I
agree with that. I wouldn't agree with
who's
that.
Who's got Mavis Beacon down pat and typing 120 words a minute for the teleprompter? Sure.
No, I wouldn't agree with what Harold Ford said. But you know what? He wouldn't stand close to John Kennedy as far as oratory goes. But,
no, he wouldn't.
You know,
not even close.
You know, he still is heads and shoulders above most other candidates in the race.
Oh, God, well,
At least John Kennedy memorized his speech.
As a nation.
John Kennedy liked the 5x7 card.
Let's all go for Michelle.
Bottom line does it really make a difference? I mean, if you think about it, there are treaties and there is machinery in place where the election of the president is effectively an exercise in controlled democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you elect one president or another, mm-hmm. you know, there are instruments that have already been put into play, and the United States doesn't just, you know, we don't just renege on something just because.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a democratic process, but you still have to have the representative republic that follows after the raising of the right hand and the oath of office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
because
you
can't have one without the other. If you just have the one, then you have mob rule. If you have the other, you know, just a representative republic, then because you have Canada, because Canadians can't even vote for their own prime minister, for crying out loud.
Uh-huh.
Right, you vote for the party. It's parliamentary.
Right. Which,
at the same time,
I mean, but
the
they
time
but they both play. They have to play off of each other.
It doesn't make a difference anymore because I think that the corruption has infected the system of government on a global scale, much like termites would infect the foundation of an entire city block.
I think that's why there's an Occupy movement worldwide that's connective.
But the whole worldwide.
Pollyanna cosmic nation. Yeah, I know.
Without presenting a solid alternative, I mean, really, you're just making noise. I mean,
well, it's still evolving, though. It's still evolving, and we don't know how it's going to end up. We don't know the repercussions of it, and there eventually will be some. We just don't know where they are right yet, and they're still evolving.
Well, here's my prediction. My prediction is the only time they're going to play the Occupy game is only at Republican caucuses and primaries, and they're going to stay the hell away from the Democrat stuff. And that's going to I got a funny feeling that's where the hypocrisy is going to come out showing, because by saying that, you know, they're all kind, nice people, blah, 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 I'm going to simply point the counter question that says, how many cop cars got crapped on at Tea Party events? If the Tea Party is so full of hate and violence, what is the ratio of arrests comparing the two?
Yeah, what, the fueling force behind the Tea Party and Occupy, it's the same thing. It's the same fuel.
It's not the same. It's
sure it is.
It's apples and mangoes is what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both have a core. Yeah, they both have seeds and they both have a stem.
Right.
But they're not the same fruit.
No.
Not even close.
No, they're not.
No,
they're right.
Right.
I agree.
You know what, but what difference does it make? You have the seeds of social discontent that are bred by economic
strife. Thanks for yanking the page out of the Chomsky playbook. I appreciate that without acknowledging the validity of the point that was presented. It doesn't matter. And so, speaking of which, where's the fellow comrade? I wonder where she is. Probably still down in San Diego slapping cameras out of people's hands. No, she's not. Never mind. And you know who I'm talking about. Anyhow, hey, I calls them as I see them, guys. That ain't niceness, okay?
That's totally cool. I mean, speaking clearly and speaking honestly is what brings the conversation to
clarity is everything. Yeah, Gwen, I've been saying that all along. Clarity is everything. Now, granted, 3 months down the line, we still don't have that radical amount of radiation on the West Coast like you were predicting on the 25th of September. Yes, I kept it, if you're wondering.
Who's saying there isn't?
White flag, white flag. Hold on, gentlemen. We are facing environmental catastrophe.
We were talking
about that 3 months ago. Yet, I'm still waiting myself. I've been watching that. I've been watching Fukushima very closely, and it looks like containment is finally getting to that point where it's less of a threat than we had originally worried about several months ago. Because we'd also talked
for that.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. I'm very, very pleased with that because heaven knows radiological contamination is a bad thing. Now, my big worry now is in the case of weaponized either uranium-238 or plutonium.
But you don't see there's been cesium leaking into the ocean and hitting those currents and coming across and hitting West Coast.
But the levels aren't anywhere near as what was originally A, predicted, and B, worst case.
Agreed. That
and I'm
was,
grateful
it's
for that.
Not quite, it's
yeah,
not
so
quite,
am I. We don't need
I mean,
any
it's,
of that.
It's really super light. Now, granted, what we can do to this planet is infinitesimal compared to a 6
well, that's
mile
what we'll be
chunk
told,
of rock.
Anyways.
No, historical fact is showing that. We can't do the damage to the planet like that size of a chunk of rock smacking into the Yucatan, thus giving us the beloved place known as Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't do that kind of damage to the planet. That was 1/10,000. In other words, if you take every single nuclear weapon that we currently still have in the stockpiles that are active and detonate them at once, that's only 1/10,000th of that big chunk of rock slamming in at basically just over 500 miles per second, which, by the way, the very top part of it was just at the edge of the stratosphere as it was impacting.
But that doesn't diminish the dangers of a nuclear arms race coming to fruition and into.
I agree.
You know, we don't want any of that stuff.
Yeah,
that's
why Iran shouldn't have
here. Let's not get
because all it takes is Iran handing it off to Hezbollah.
Exactly.
And these guys think
or
they got
anybody.
Anybody.
It's just insane. It's just insane. Too much of this nuclear stuff, and it's just not good for the planet or good for anybody.
And it's not good for business.
No, not good for anything.
I don't trust anything that we're being told through any media services anymore or government services. I don't mean to
sound
like...
Well, you just have to
like,
run everything down and not realize that it isn't just propaganda or whether it is propaganda. You have to run it down and do your own deductive reasoning.
And no matter which source it's coming from, whether it's Alex Jones or Fox News or MSNBC or NPR or CNN.
I think
those
are all shady sources.
I even fault Amy Goodman.
Now, Amy Goodman, I tend to think she's doing a very good job of due diligence.
Well, she's doing a very good job as basically a protester in an anchor seat. Yeah, she's doing a great job for that. But when it comes to what she's saying, it's the problem that's happened in the last 25 years since I left the media to go to work in the military is that editorializing used to be at the very, very end of an article or a report. Editorializing now is in the first paragraph.
Well,
and that's
across the board.
Now, Democracy Now gives you 15 minutes of straight news before she begins to editorialize or interview guests.
Right, well, very true.
Yeah, but look at the tone of the verbiage of how it's presented is the way I always state it. Look at the tone of, in other words, it's not straight, 5 W's and an H. You know, the who, what, when, where, how, and why. As Reggie and Joe and the rest of the editors who taught me.
I'm going to agree to disagree with you on that one, flyover.
Agree to disagree with me on this one that, hey, Democracy Now! Is better listened to as a podcast than watching the live stream.
I see it mostly as – I see the recap. I see it at the end of the day. I don't see it live, but most of the time, so – I that's apples oranges kind of thing to me, but I value the information I get from Democracy Now. I consider it a very good resource.
So do I.
Yeah, but it's always got such a very narrow. It's like looking through life through a 5-foot-long coffee can.
Not from my.
I don't see it that way, but you're entitled to your opinion.
From my perspective. Either, but I respect your opinion. I mean, what you consider credible news sources and what I consider credible news sources, it's a good thing to bring them to bear.
At least she covers the news instead of ridiculous Hollywood gossip and sports hero stuff and all that crazy nonsense that isn't news to begin with.
Professor Maddow, Dr. Maddow, I thought Rachel Maddow was doing a really fine job when she came to MSNBC initially, but I've grown so disheartened at her wiping the president's ass so often on television now that it hurts to watch sometimes.
And the same thing, too, with that other fella, that other guy on it in Keith's old spot. I forget his name now.
Lawrence O'Donnell.
Joel? Or not O'Donnell, the other guy. The guy who switched
Ed
places
Schultz.
With him.
Big Ed Schultz.
Ed Schultz,
yeah.
That's who it was.
Oh,
yeah.
The big fat bully.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the one who had selective memory. I've never met Eric Bolin. I don't know Eric Bolin. I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well,
and,
but
because the source that verifies it, because he's on a late night show that has a comedic bent called Red Eye, it's not a valid source.
Where is that? Which one?
When Ed Schultz was bought the drink by Eric Bolling over at Fox Business News, over
and
at Del Frisco's.
And who cares? I mean, is that news? Do we care about that? I sure as hell don't. That's ridiculous.
I just don't like whitewashing. I don't like whitewashing. I don't like people who play revisionist history. That's something that's always bothered me deep down at my core.
Sure.
Revisionism of factual events that have taken place.
Well, it happens on O'Reilly every night.
Yeah, that's true.
So there
that's
you go.
Oh, so you're saying that reporting about Solyndra, knowing that they were in trouble and then lying about it and then pleading the fifth is not fact?
No, not exactly. That's not what I was saying at all. What I'm talking about is you're talking about whitewashing. That was maybe one incident. It happens every goddamn night on O'Reilly. Let's be real about it. The guy's a big liar on TV.
Okay. All right.
Well, Fox News.
I personally am not a big fan of that. Well, the way that I look at it is this. If you get the entire full cable package, whether it's through satellite or cable, okay? In other words, if you're willing to go ahead and pay $199 a month, basically, for every single channel that's available, you guys still have a 3-to-1 advantage of the 16 cable news outlets. How can you say the right is driving the narrative? I'm still working on that one, guys. What is it, Neo going up against the bad guys?
Well, that's because what you consider, what you define as the left, is more of the right, from my personal opinion.
I would agree.
Well, I get it. So MSNBC is not left enough for you, Gwen.
Well, yeah, but it's no. Good Lord, it's not. But,
look at the bodies that came over.
Left. Gentlemen,
look at the bodies that came over, Gwen. Those who were chill for Air America, who couldn't even do a proper business plan that you and I paid for 2 years and 2 months to keep afloat. When they were in receivership, that's how they were able to stay on the air. You got people that are so far angry, like Mike Malloy, who had to get fired, who still won't come clean about why he got fired, because he's a douche nozzle.
Okay.
He's an angry, bitter old man who can't acknowledge it. It's like talking to an ex-brother-in-law.
You know what, gentlemen? I really, it snuck right up on me. We're over our time here. We've done our hour.
Oh, my God.
Flyover, I really appreciate you being on, and I want you to know I'd like you to come back and give us your take, because it brings the conversation up and allows us to
decide. 90 days from now.
Yeah.
90 days. I can stand listening. It's the interaction part. Because it feels like I'm shooting a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun against an oncoming freight truck, and I know it's not going to make a dent no matter what I say. It's like talking
to
my
heart.
I'm sorry?
I do appreciate you.
Well, Happy New Year to everyone, and best wishes till next week.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. And please remember that, Jack, thank you for being with me.
You bet. Thank you, as always.
And Murphy, thanks so much, Murph, for calling in tonight.
Yeah, Murphy.
And everybody in the chat, I want to remind everybody, too, that tomorrow night, Wise Woman Media will be on with Anita Stewart, and she will be having a roundtable discussion with the women of Occupy Tampa. So please, it would be nice to hear some of those questions in tomorrow night's discussion too. I'm going to be listening. Jack, thank you so much. I'm not catching up with the conversation in the chat room. I'm so sorry, fellas. I didn't keep my eye strictly on it, but I do appreciate Flyover for calling in, and I salute and say hello to everybody. Happy New Year. Jack, thank you.
Yep, thank you, and Happy New Year.
Murph, good night, and we'll be back for the Sunday show again next week. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Terrific. Bye-bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.